There is a line in the proclamation of the resurrection. It asks a question. What good would life have been to us if Christ had not come as our Redeemer? What good would life have been to us had Christ not come as our Redeemer? Now that is a question that has to be answered from a particular perspective, because it demands, like I said, a perspective. A long time ago, I read a business book. I don't even remember the name of it. But the business book encouraged you to see what's on the ground, what you're doing. It used the metaphor of flying. And he said, the business book said, imagine that you were involved in dealing with a piece of ground right there on ground level. But then you are able, through either an airplane or a tower, that you are able to begin to see what you are doing in a particular place from different levels of and different heights. So your project, which looked extremely big on the ground, looked different from 100 feet up. And if you kept on going up, say to 1,000 feet, your project would begin to look, in the context, increasingly small. And if you went to 5,000 feet, even smaller, and to look at it from an airplane at 30,000 feet, you would virtually almost experience that the project was disappearing in insignificance. It's a business book that encourages you to look at the big picture as to where things are going, and not to get so involved in the project on the ground that you lose sight of the big picture of where you're going with a particular project. That metaphor has been helpful to me, especially in my work as a priest, because most of us are involved on whatever projects we're involved in right on the ground. And we are absorbed by that project on the ground. But periodically, when you step back and you start looking at that project from the different levels, maybe from a 5-year plan or from corresponding heights, you begin to see the project maybe from a 20-year plan, or, God forbid, even a 50 or your lifetime plan, the project begins to look very different and begins to take on different importance. The things that would have importance while you're on the ground do not have, they sort of lose their importance the higher you get and the more you look at the whole. Today, the resurrection of Jesus is one of those occurrences in human reality that, from a perspective of the ground, at most of the time, it doesn't look, it's something you do at church. It's something you do at church. And you go to church, and it's nice. But the church does not look, the disciples of Jesus, we are the disciples, the students of Jesus, because a disciple is a student. And the students of Jesus, we don't look at life from the perspective of what are we going to do today. That's an important thing, but the important thing is, where is this whole thing going? Where is human life going? What's the point here? As a good friend of mine once said, he said, does life have a meaning, or is it just one damn thing after another? And he's right. To some of us, life is just what happens every day. Another image that I have that I enjoy using is, for those of you who've ever played pool, imagine you're one of the pool balls, and it's time for the break. And you are one of the pool balls. What determines the course of your action or the course of your direction? In the course of your direction, in the break of a pool game, is only determined by the latest collision you had with another ball. You're basically going nowhere in particular, nowhere significant, because all you're doing is reacting to the collisions of life. And so today, the resurrection of Jesus is one of those events in human history that from a ground level doesn't have a lot, and most of the time. But when you start asking, what good would life have been to us had Christ not come as our Redeemer? You know, I went to Catholic high school. I went to Catholic school. I even went to Catholic grade school with the Jesuits. It's a little of what has messed me up. It's a joke. I like the Jesuits. Okay. But by the time I was in high school, I really couldn't see the point of religion. I really couldn't see the point. I mean, I had priests and nuns who would tell me, Jesus loves you. And I still remember thinking, so does my mama. Or Jesus died to save you. Save me from what? I'm fine. In those days, I had hair. I wasn't overweight. I was actually pretty decent looking. It's amazing what time does to you. Save me from what? I don't need to be saved. I'm having a great time. And so to me, you know, I shut my mouth, because in those days, if you said something impertinent, the nun would throw a piece of chalk at you or stuff like that. I loved them very much, but man, those ladies could hit hard. But religion was, and Jesus' resurrection was, okay, thank you. The image that I've always had, and I use it a lot, I've been in this parish a long time, and so you may have heard it several times, but it's still the image that makes most sense to me. If you're swimming in a swimming pool and you're having a great time with your friends, and as you're swimming, the lifeguard jumps in and says to you, I'm here to save you. What do you do? You're having a nice time, lifeguard jumps in and says, I'm here to save you. You turn around to the lifeguard and you say, thank you so much. You're really nice. I appreciate it. But I'm okay. And then as the lifeguard swims away, you turn to your friends and roll your eyes. Because, you know, what the heck is he thinking? It's a nice gesture. But I want you to imagine that 5 minutes later, for some medical reason, you are paralyzed from the neck down, and you're at the deep end of the pool, and you begin to drown. This lifeguard, the same lifeguard, jumps in, swims over to you, and says, I'm here to save you. Oh my God. That's the best news you've ever heard. You'd be willing to trade everything for that. Before, it was a kind nonsense. Now, it is the central message of your life. You see, what I figured out when I was in high school, I wasn't drowning. And so if you offer a drowning man, a man who's not drowning, to be rescued, that offer is nice, but it is fairly meaningless. In other words, for me, Christianity was an answer that I never had a question for. It's nice. And you may go twice a year and say, "Hey, God," but that's it. The message of even the word salvation, I've had people over the years say, why is this whole thing about being saved? And I don't disagree with you. A lot of times being saved is used in such a foolish manner that that it bears the ridicule that it gets. But once you begin to understand that the message is actually a critical message. Why is it critical? Because drowning is not an option. Drowning is not an option. I'm using the metaphor of drowning. It means that you are living right now with the illusion that you are in full control of your life. And notice I said the illusion that you are in full control of your life. That illusion will hold most of the time. But there will be a moment in life, and it could come today. It could come in a week. Could come in 10, 20, 50 years. I don't know when it's going to come. When you will experience being out of control and your life will be at any moment taken from you. And at that moment, you will face through a flash, and it's not, you know, kind of a movie going through. It's a realization that everything and everyone you have ever loved is about to be destroyed. First of all, in your experience, because you won't exist anymore. And so to the degree the way that people in your family and people in your job, your friends, all that you have cared about, when you die, in that moment before you die, you will have the experience of, so now is everything just fade to black? Does it fade to nothing? And believe me, if you haven't had that experience, it's terrifying. Because everything in life, it's the warning that you have not been in control. Most of us think we're in control, but it takes just so little, like that. These last few weeks I've been thinking about the terror, for example, of those people, 150 people, I think, that got on that German airliner. They woke up that morning in Barcelona. They were going home. It had been a great trip. It's time to go home. They were all looking forward to all kinds of things in their lives, to telling stories about what happened in Barcelona. And all of a sudden they boarded this airplane and everything's fine. Until at a point they noticed that the airplane began to head downwards. And within a few minutes, they became aware that they were no longer in control, that they were about to die. At that moment, the illusion of being in control of life had gone away. And now the most important question that they were facing is not, what am I going to do when I go home? Am I going to fade to black and that's it? Is life over? Is there anything? And I don't know about you, but I don't want to die. I would love to live, even after. Death is not in my bucket list. I would like to live. But in the moment, if I'm going down in an airplane, I'm going to look up at God, and from the center of my being, I'm going to say the words, save me. Save me. Even if I die, I commend myself to you. I commend my spirit to you. I'm not that concerned about the death. I'm concerned about the permanency of the whole thing. Because you see, that's the point. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then the permanency of the whole fade to black is what counts. If Christ is risen from the dead, then it still hurts. It's still scary as hell. But you have hope. At that moment when you lost control of life, you have someone that you can look up to and say, save me. And that kind of thing can happen. That airplane was full of all kinds of people of different ages. So don't just think bad things happen to old people. That's one of the illusions of youth, that you're in full control. So what we try to do is we try to forget that. We try to live on the ground. We try to live on the ground. Problem is, that's really stupid. Because if you have no sense of what's coming, I guess you can make your life busy. But underneath, somewhere inside of you, there's always going to be that nagging thing of what's coming. You know that. That's the way you feel every time you go to the doctor. That's the way you feel every time you're expecting someone and they're late. And your mind goes to what could have happened. That's the way you feel when you don't hear from somebody. When you get a pain. It's those moments that remind you of the illusion of control. And so today, what we are celebrating is something that doesn't really matter at the ground level when we're busy. It doesn't really matter because we're in control. We kind of know what's going to happen, hopefully, in the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 20 days. We hope we know. But ultimately, you don't. And once you get to that point that you're facing the final moments of your life, the important thing in your life will not be what you were doing. The important thing in your life will be, is there a God? And the important thing in your life, does he love me? And the important thing is, will he take me to himself? And will I exist in a few moments? What good would life have been to you had Christ not come as our Redeemer? What good? You could be one of those people that just says, oh, well, YOLO. For those of you who are not quite hip, YOLO means you only live once. And the philosophy behind YOLO is, hell, you're going to die. Get it all in as much as you can. You want to live like that, go for it. But you're always going to live with that little feeling at the pit of your stomach that says, is there no hope? Is there no future? What the hell is life all about? And where is it going? Am I participating in a pool break? And when my time comes, will YOLO have been enough? Will YOLO have been enough? Let me close with quoting at least a little bit of a quote, if I can remember it. There's a play that I particularly care, I like a lot. And the play is an old play. It's called Man of La Mancha. Man of La Mancha describes the story of Don Quixote, one of the earliest novels in Western literature. But it's about an old man who is somewhat paralyzed, well, not tremendously, just aging. And he spends his time reading books about knighthood, and this happens in the 16th century. And he spends his time reading about knighthood and fighting dragons and doing heroic deeds. But the play begins with the author of the play in prison during the Inquisition. And the prisoners that are with him are teasing him about writing this fantasy where this old man is seeking purpose in his life. And they accuse him of living life outside the real world. And they accuse him and they say, you've got to be real. You've got to live life in the real world. And his response is something like this. I don't know if I can quote it totally. He says, I have lived in the real world. I have been a seaman. I have traveled the world as many seas. I have been a merchant. I have been a soldier in battle. I have also held men in that moment in their lives when they were wounded. And I held them as they were dying. And I saw the question in their eyes. The question seemed to be, why? Why? I don't think they were questioning why they were dying. They were questioning why they had lived. When life itself seems lunatic, who knows where real madness lies? Perhaps too much reality is madness. Perhaps living in the world is the ultimate illusion. And maddest of all, craziest of all, is to live life as it is and not as it should be. Maddest of all is to live life as it is and not as it ought to be. The resurrection of Jesus gives us the ultimate view of what life is about. Life is not to be lived only in the here and now. It is a here and now thing. But it is like driving. You better know your destination before you start the car. It's not enough to be able to drive a car. You gotta know where you're going. Otherwise, the exercise is futile. Today, that's what we're doing as Christians. We are remembering where we're going. We are remembering the shortness of this life. And we are remembering that life has a destination. And that Jesus has shown us the destination. What good would life have been to us had Christ not come as our Redeemer? Not much. A little while, a little YOLO, not much else. Unless you know where you're going. Today is the ultimate good news, folks. For those of you who have experienced drowning, He's here to save you. For those of you who have not yet experienced drowning, just wait. It's coming. The last I heard, human mortality was still holding at 100%. You're going to need it. On that day, you're going to get it.